join in with the feelings already expressed by Brother Gentry in welcoming you here, I myself desire to welcome each and every single one of you for your presence. I know we are all truly grateful for the presence of each and every one. And if you're here tonight and visiting, as Brother Gentry said, we had some visitors, we sure do appreciate your presence as well. And we hope that if this is your first time visiting with the Knollwood Church of Christ, that this will be a beginning of a new and a wonderful relationship between you and the Knollwood Church of Christ. And we want you to know that the doors here swing open unto you on welcome hinges. I'm so thankful for the opportunity and the privilege this morning to be here to meet with you. I've been looking forward to meeting you for some time now. And I want to personally thank you for the support that you have been sending my way. And the church in Crab Orchard sends their greetings and their thanksgiving for your help in the work there as well. And we are truly grateful for fellowship with those of like precious faith. And we just want you to know that your gift of support is very generous. And we hope that we can continue to work together until we're self-supporting. If you have your Bibles open, I hope that you will begin with me in John chapter 3 and verse 16, because our lesson this morning has to do with giving. And I would have to say that if I was to quote the most familiar passage of Scripture found in God's book, it would have to be John 3:16, which deals with giving. And there it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when we study our Bibles, we find that the Word of God is filled with giving. It was Apostle Paul who quoted our Lord when he spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 35, and he said to them, "I have showed you in all things that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, we will not find Jesus making those statements in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which teaches us that our Lord had said more than just what is recorded in the Gospels. Now, I don't know of a single person that can appreciate that statement of our Lord. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Most of us, I'm sure, loves to give gifts to those whom they love. We have special days when we give gifts. We give gifts for weddings, anniversaries, birthdays. So we're not strangers to the giving and the receiving of gifts. Sometimes we give gifts just when we feel like it. Maybe we can't afford it right then. But our heart says to give when our pocketbook says that we can't give. And so it may not be much. But if it's from the heart, in the eyes of the receiver, it is a great and a precious gift. The thought is indeed important. And as we study our Bibles, we find that gifts played a very important role in the life of the Hebrews. So much so that we can find many different expressions to designate the different kind of gifts that could be given in that day. We read, for example, that Abraham gave gifts to Melchizedek. We read that the Syrians gave gifts to the King David. And we also read that the wise men gave gifts to the great child Jesus. But you know, the gifts that I want us to consider this morning are not material in nature. They are not material in nature. I believe they are far more important than material gifts. They are important simply because they have to do with our personal, interpersonal relationships with one another. I don't know about you, but I am deeply concerned. I'm concerned about the fact that our relationships are breaking down all around us. Now, they're not breaking down simply for no reason at all. They are breaking down because we are not doing those things that we ought to do to maintain those relationships. We see the breakdown in the family between the husbands and the wives. We see the breakdown in the families between the parents and the children. And we also see the breakdown in our relationships between our friends and our neighbors. We see it in community life in general. People who simply have no care or regard whatsoever for the other person. Yes, we see the breakdown in our relationships in the kingdom of God. So much so that churches are splitting up all over the land. simply because brethren are unwilling to work together and to study and to grow together. And it calls our relationships to become the kind of relationships that they really ought to be. Someone has said, as the world goes, so goes the Lord's church. And I believe that's somewhat true, because whatever problems exist in the world, we frequently find them creeping into the Lord's church. But that, dear one, should not be. The explanation for that is because we live in the world, we're confronted every day with the problems of the world, and therefore those things are just carryovers when we come together in our relationships in the kingdom of God. But in our Lord's fervent prayer, he prayed to the Father, and he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Jesus said, though we live in the world, we should not be of the world. But in too many places, we see the world, even in the body of Christ. So what can we do? What can we do to help maintain the relationships and the families between the husbands and the wives? What can we do with the children toward their parents and the parents toward their children? What can we do with our friends and neighbors in the community in which we live? What is it that we can do as brothers and sisters in the Lord? What kind of gifts can we give that will help cement those relationships and help concrete those relationships and help those relationships become the kind of relationships that they really ought to be? Well, I believe that there are some very important gifts that we need to give. Now, because I have said that they are not material in nature, do not think for one second that they're not going to cost you something. Because the kind of gifts that I have in mind for us this morning will indeed cost you. First of all, they're going to cost you a great deal of time. It's going to take time to give the kind of gifts that I have in mind for us this morning. And that's why we don't give of these gifts today like we ought to. Because many of us are just too selfish to give of our time. And I'll tell you something else that's going to cost us. It's going to cost us a great deal of thought. It's going to cost us thought, dear ones, to give the kind of gifts that we're going to look at this morning, because the kind of gifts that I have in mind for us are not given thoughtlessly. You have to take the time to stop and think about giving the kind of gifts that I have in store for us. And the third thing it's going to cost us, it's going to cost us a great deal of effort. It's going to take effort to give the kind of gifts that I have in mind for us, because the kind of gifts that we're going to look at are not always that easy to give. But I guarantee you that if you will commit yourself to the giving of these gifts that we'll look at this morning, if you will commit yourself to the giving of these gifts in all your varied relationships in life, that you'll be glad that you did. I promise you that. So what do we have in mind? The first gift that I want us to look at is the gift of praise. The gift of praise. This is a biblical gift.
When we open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, in there chapter 11 and verse 2, we find the Apostle Paul praising the brethren at Corinth. And he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them to you. And when we drop down to verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 11, we find that he does not praise them, for they were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. And he says, now in this did I declare unto you, I praise you not. So what we find in 1 Corinthians 11 is that he also takes occasion to observe that there was a subject on which he could not employ praise or approval. But we find that where they were doing good, they received praise. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and verses 3 and 4, we find Paul praising the brethren of Philippi. And he says that he thanked God upon every remembrance of them. In John 1, verse 47, we find Jesus praising Nathanael. And he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no God. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we find Jesus praising the churches of Asia. But yet he warned them where they lack commendation. But the fact remains, dear ones, that in the Bible we will find the gift of praise. Now, I don't know about you, But I just don't hear the gift of praise very much today. I hear a lot of complaining, and I hear a lot of criticism, but I hear very little praise. Now, it doesn't matter if we're talking about the church, or if we're talking about the home, or if we're talking about our relationships at work. When we come to the point that we think that criticism is the order of the day, then we are going to wind up destroying. It will destroy a husband and a wife relationship. And it will destroy a parent-child relationship. And it will destroy brothers and sisters in the Lord. And wherever you want to go, if criticism is all we hear, it will indeed destroy. Even the criticism that we need to hear ought to be constructive criticism. The kind that will build up, the kind that will encourage, so that people will desire to correct themselves, to make amends, to try harder to do better. But don't you ever forget that there is a deep need in every single human being for the gift of praise. Every single person here this morning is longing to hear words of praise. We're all longing to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of thy Lord." Even in the least of us, there's some good. And don't you think that we ought to try to look for that in one another? Why are we allowing Satan to blind us from seeing the good in one another? We desperately need to remember the words of our Lord Jesus when he said in Matthew 12 and there verse 25, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and every house divided against itself shall not stand." Husbands and wives need to take the time to look for the good in one another. They need to take the time to praise one another. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." It might just simply be him saying to her, Honey, I want you to know how much I appreciate you feeding us and caring for us and all the things that you do to make this home the kind of home that it is." It might be her saying to him, "Honey, I want you to know I appreciate the work that you do and the support that you give and all the things that you do." It might be the children coming into the parents and putting their arms around them and saying, "Mom and Dad, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the home you made possible for me to grow up in. And I'm so thankful that you're Christians and that you're raising me up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I want you to know how much I appreciate the love and the care you've shown for me and all the other things you do for me." Don't you think that these things would help just a little bit in our relationships if we just take the time to praise one another? And what about in the kingdom? How many times have you just gone to a brother and said, "Brother, I want you to know I sure do appreciate the way that you did that. Or brother, I know you're going through some difficult times right now, but I want you to know that you're an encouragement to me. I'm so thankful that you're remaining faithful to the Lord." Don't you think that we could see just that much in one another's lives to praise? I want you to know that all the material things in this life may be fine and well and have their place. But there is nothing among all those things that'll ever take the place of the gift of praise or commendation in our relationships. And we're going to have to move on to the next gift. And the second gift is likened to the first. And we're going to call this gift the gift of consideration. The gift of consideration. That just simply means, dear ones, that we take the time and we stop and think about and we make the effort to consider one another. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10 and there verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Too many times we find ourselves provoking one another to wrath and to anger and not unto love and to good works. We find ourselves saying things and doing things before we think. How many times have we said something, or how many times have we done something and then wish that we never let it take place? Sometimes we try to come back and justify it and say, well, I didn't think before I said that, or I didn't think before I did that. But that's not true, dear ones, because we can't speak and we can't act until our mind's engaged. Maybe we haven't thought long enough about it. Maybe we didn't think clearly enough about it. But we can't act and we can't think, act and speak until our mind's engaged. Therefore, the gift of consideration is very necessary in all our relationships. The Apostle Paul knew about this gift. He said to the Romans in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, how can we be kindly affectionate to one another without taking the time, putting forth the thought and the effort to think about one another? We need to be concerned about one another. In our families, the children need to stop and think about mom and dad. And mom and dad need to stop and think about each other. I know one thing that is for sure, that there is nobody on this earth that loves me like my wife does. And to you that are children, I need to remind you that there is nobody save God that loves you like your mother and father does. So we need to take the time and the thought and the effort to consider one another. The third gift that I want us to look at this morning is the gift of attention. What a gift this was at the end of the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was in the home of Martha and Mary. Martha was up getting the meal ready, taking care of the chores. Where was Mary? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, lending her ear to the eternal things which Jesus had to say, giving attention unto the Lord. Now we know that Martha loved the Lord too, but she was probably just a little bit jealous that she was up doing all the work while Mary was enjoying the Lord. And so she comes in at Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, and she says, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And so I believe Jesus took that moment to teach a very important lesson. And he said to Martha in verses 41 and 42, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus said this one thing is needed. Attention. Attention to God. And there isn't a greater gift that any of you can give God than your attention. Just like you're doing right now. You're listening to His Word. And we must have each other's attention as well. The gift of attention is very, very valuable in the marriage relationship. And I know this, that we better all learn how to give the right kind of attention and then give it, because if we don't give it, there's always somebody out there who will give it. When the need gets great enough, look out, because there's going to be problems. We all need to give the gifts that each one of us needs. Some husbands and wives give so little attention to each other that it wouldn't make a difference if they lived 2,000 miles apart across the continent. We must all stop taking our marriages for granted. We need to confirm our love for one another. We have got to be able to say, I love you. But we have such macho husbands today that can't even say to their wives, I love you. Well, I told you once that I loved you, didn't I? And if I change my mind, I'll tell you different. What's that gonna do for a marriage relationship? We need to tell one another I love you, and we need to prove it, dear ones, by giving our attention to one another. We mustn't just say it, but we must prove it. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." John says that our love has got to go farther than our words. We must take time and effort that's needful for our families. And husbands and wives need to spend time together alone. And if that means to spend an extra nickel to pay a babysitter, then so be it. We need to give the gifts that each one of us needs, as well as all the other gifts in all our varied relationships. The fourth gift that I want us to look at this morning is a very important gift. That's the gift of our presence. The Lord knew how important that gift was. What does he say to his disciples? "I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. The familiar verse in Revelation 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." Remember when Paul was discouraged in Acts chapter 18 and needed encouragement, that Jesus came to him at night by a vision and said to him in verses 9 and 10, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee." Why does he so often talk about that? Because he knows the need for him to walk with his people and for his people to walk with him. And so the Bible talks about him abiding in us and us abiding in him, talking about the relationship that we can have with one another. I know that it's a spiritual relationship, but it is so encouraging to know that somebody is with us and for us and sharing with us. That's why the gift of our presence is so very, very important. And that's why the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Each one of us has a very, very important gift to give, and that is the gift of our presence to one another. And that's why it's so important for us to be here every single time the doors are open to give that very valuable gift. Because, dear ones, united we stand, divided we fall. In our physical families, we need to give our presence as well. It is shocking for me to read and to hear about the number of gospel preachers who are losing their children to the world. But I don't doubt that the leading reason for that is because they haven't been giving their presence with their children like they ought to. They travel the world to save the world, and in the process they're losing their own families. A lot of preachers need to make sure that they are spending time with their families. A lot of parents need to spend time with their children as well. We all need to spend time with one another. We have never had as many divorces in the world as we have been having. Even in the Lord's church, there are more and more divorces every year, and many of them include gospel preachers. And I believe the number one reason for that is probably because they're just not spending their time together like they ought to. Folks, preachers better wake up. And all of us better wake up, because what's true for preachers is true for you too. Children of God need to spend their time together with one another. And as was brought out in our Bible study this morning, our best friends and our companions really need to be Christians. And as we found, that wasn't my opinion or someone else's opinion, that was a matter of faith. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." In all things, we must take heed lest we fall. The world is tearing us apart in many, many ways. And so we have got to take notice of that and make the proper changes in our lives and start giving the proper gifts in our relationships that really matter. This is going to make the difference between happiness and sadness. This may make the difference between living and dying. That's why there's so many suicide shelters today. Because people know that if they can get somebody on the phone long enough to find out where they are, that perhaps they can get to that location, and together they can talk that problem out and maybe save a life. That's how important our presence is. Each one of us has a very, very important gift to give. And we better all start learning to give that gift before it becomes too late to give it. Then the last gift that I want us to look at this morning is probably the most important gift that we could ever give to anyone. And that, dear ones, is the gift of an apology. The gift of an apology. There are no perfect people, and therefore there's going to be mistakes that are going to be made. And friends, none of us are too big to stand up and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What a gift that was that the prodigal son gave to his father in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. He went out and he spent his inheritance on riotous living. And he ended up in the dregs of society. At the bottom of the heap and not at the top as he thought that he would. I wonder how many days, how many hours his father looked down that old dusty road to see if maybe his son might be coming home. And one day as he was waiting for his son to come home, he saw on the road the dust began to rise. And as he looked closer, he found that it was really his son. And Luke 15 and verse 20 says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. As soon as he realized that it was really his son, he ran to him. He fell upon him and hugged and kissed him. And his son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He wanted just to be a servant in his father's house. But his father said, no, son, bring forth the fatted beast, the calf. Put a robe on him and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And let's make joyful, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and now he is found. And the Bible says that they began to be merry. Dear ones, the thing that made all that possible was the apology. The gift of an apology and the gift of forgiveness. The apology is no good without the forgiveness. We have got to be able to forgive one another. Why can't we do these things? Why can't we do these things in all our varied relations in life? Why can't husbands and wives say these things to one another? I know that there's no perfect marriages, but there are great marriages. And the reason why there are great marriages is because somebody's been big enough to say, I'm sorry, and the other person has been big enough to say, that's okay. That's okay, I forgive you. Let's work a little harder to do a little better. That's what makes a good marriage. And parents, don't ever think that you're too big to apologize to the children. Just because we're adults, that doesn't give us the right to neglect the giving of an apology to the little ones. Be willing to go in by their bedside and sit down and tell them you're sorry. Tell them you blew it. Tell them you made a big mistake and you'll try never to let it happen again. And to see those little ones sit up in that bed and put their arms around you and say, you know be mad at me, I know be mad at you. And you will know the joy of forgiveness. And what about in the church? If we're going to have great relationships in the church, then we are going to have to be big enough to say, I'm sorry. Why can't we do that? What is wrong with us as brethren that we fail to seek forgiveness and we can hardly forgive and forget? Why do we become so angry sometimes and so mad that we can't work together anymore? that we can throw away 10, 15 years of work together in the kingdom when all in the world that it would take is somebody to simply say, I'm sorry. And the other brother to say, that's okay, brother. Or that's okay, sister. Let's work together like we ought to. Let's forget about the past and let's look forward to the future. Can't we understand that our relationships need to be cemented? Can't we understand that we can grow in those relationships, that they can become great relationships? Not perfect, but great. But if they're going to become great, then we're going to have to give those gifts in all our relationships that really matter. Don't you agree with me that if we will commit ourselves to the giving of these gifts in all our varied relationships in life, that it would be better with us if we did? If you agree with me, I plead with you to give them. We open with John 3:16, and I intend to close with the same verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that says that we must put our faith and trust in the Son of God. He, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, that the sons of men may become the sons of God. If you put your faith in him, if you follow him whithersoever he goeth, you'll go the same place he is. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And is there someone here this morning who needs to render obedience to his word, be baptized into Christ where all the spiritual blessings are found? We invite you to come now as together we stand as we sing.